We're just continuing here. I'm so excited this morning. I mean, we get the opportunity to continue on as we sort of touch and go throughout this year with this kind of this series, with this theme of the year that we're looking at that we're just calling the freeway. Because I believe that one of the things that the Lord has for us as a congregation this year is finding freedom. It's finding a greater degree of freedom. And I mean, for me, the greatest burden in my heart with regard to the body of Christ is genuine freedom, to see the body walking in genuine freedom. Why? Because when you walk in freedom, it's going to solidify your identity. When you walk in freedom, you're going to understand who you are in Christ. When you understand who you are in Christ, it's going to make it very easy for you to coordinate with the rest of the body of Christ. Okay? Hugely important. When I understand who I am, as I have understood who I am, and it only took me 41 years. Okay, when I was 5, I knew exactly who I was. Okay, it got muddled between here and there. But as I've begun to understand who I am, truly understand my identity in Christ, we've talked about this in the book of Ephesians. Suddenly, it's okay for me not to be everything. Because Scott Clifford has great strengths, and he also has weaknesses. But I get to rely on the rest of the body of Christ to prop up, because their strengths, guess what they do? They cover my weaknesses. And the pastor who's going to be preaching to us this morning is one of the people who is just, he's done that for me over the years. He's covered my areas of weakness. When I get fired up and throw my hands above my head, and if you're in leadership here, you know that happens occasionally. Jeremy's like, well, probably be okay. And he's usually right, so I should probably listen more. But we've had a few things that we've gone through so far. We've looked at, besides some introductory things that we've done, Darren has come along and he's talked to us about hearing the voice of God. Massively important. We have to be able to accurately hear the voice of God. In a couple weeks, Darren's going to come back and he's going to reiterate what he said and sort of tie it all up neatly. But then I got in, and after talking about being able to hear the voice of God, and that ties in with what I was talking about with introspection this morning. My greatest heart in raising children, raising my kids, none of them are kids, they're all adults now. But my greatest heart in raising them is that they would be able to hear the voice of God. That they would have a degree of accuracy. They don't need to hear it perfectly, but they would be able to have that ear to hear what the Spirit says. Then we went from there. When you have that ability to hear the voice of God, guess what? God can correct. God can guide. God can lead. God can encourage. And he can convict. And so we talked about repentance. One of the biggest things that I think the body of Christ does not understand is we must repent for believing the lies that have been perpetrated upon us. Okay, people have lied over you in your lifetime. And as you understand that, you can repent of that and be like, Lord, I put that behind. Then we went on from there, and Gibran last week, or a couple, probably 2 weeks ago, I guess, talked about sanctification, that idea of just being set apart, guys. And it's not, I just really found what she said, that it's not just about sort of, you know, following rules so you don't get the strap. It's about having clarity in your life. And so this morning, Pastor Jeremy, just one of my closest brothers on earth and just a good friend and a co-laborer, is just going to talk to us a bit about, I guess I'd say, protection, really, eh? What are you calling it? Do you have a title for this morning? Okay, he's here to talk about sort of this morning. Praise the Lord.
Good morning. So, this morning, as Scott said, we're going to talk about home. and specifically around home, some boundaries and protection. So this is something the Lord had spoken through Ruth, and was a part of this teaching series. And when I first kind of read what the Lord had spoken through Ruth, my initial reaction was like, what? I just didn't get it. It was totally confusing to me. And it was just really funny as I started to kind of jump into this and just listen to the Lord, just how amazing this ties in with what's with this kind of process that we're going through, and with how important it is as the next step that we're taking. So we're talking about home life and how we can strengthen ourselves for success in Christ by working towards a better home environment. This is hugely important, as home is kind of like the springboard. It's the place that where we jump off into life from. So if we don't do home properly, you know, we're going to have a poor start into life. If home doesn't look right, life is not going to look right, no matter how we try to put that kind of veneer over it to make it look like it's right. This year, we're going to take ground. You know, we're not just hoping to take ground, we are going to take ground, and we are taking ground. And that's not only as a church, but as individuals. You know, we, in our own personal lives, in our own personal walks with the Lord, we are taking ground. We're learning how to secure our homes and to kind of get that part right first is absolutely necessary. So it's not a nice to have, it's not an add-on, it's an absolute necessity. So what we're looking at is actually really important. And so, first of all, when we talk about boundaries and protection, people sort of think, oh, okay, rules. You know, we're talking about rules here, setting up rules, putting ourselves in a box, and that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about legalism. So we've got to get the context right here. And I think the context is freedom. And I was just remembering the other day, I had a friend, a brother who came over from America. It wasn't Scott, wasn't any of the Cliffords or anyone related to them. And he said to me, he said, oh, yeah, we had to get out of America. It was just too liberal, just too liberal. I said, oh, well, didn't you have a really good church? And he said, no, that church went liberal. It was really liberal. I thought, well, that's really sad. You're using liberal as though it's a really negative thing. He's like, it is. It's extremely liberal. I was like, well, maybe you should just read the Bible, because this person, you know, is a very fundamental Bible sort of person. But just read the Bible again and just look out for that word and just see how many times it's used negatively. I don't think you'll find it's used negatively anywhere in the Bible. You know, we want to come from a place of liberty, don't we? We want to be walking in freedom. So when we talk about, you know, even Gibran was talking about the other week, sanctification. You know, we're being sanctified from freedom to freedom, right? So we're not being sanctified from freedom to rules and regulations. We're being sanctified into freedom so that we might be more free, so that we don't walk in the old ways and actually become less free. So that is what we're trying to do. We're actually trying to become more free and not less free. 1 Corinthians kind of illustrates this this tension really nicely. In chapter 10, verse 23, Paul says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up or edify. So, and what he's talking about there, he's not sort of saying all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful, as in like doing the dishes is helpful, or, you know, vacuuming and cleaning is helpful. He's talking about things that are helpful to ourselves, to our own spirit man, to our bodies, and to building ourselves up. So from a very sort of personal point of view, he's saying, you can do whatever you want in Christ. You can do whatever you want, but there are lots of things that are not helpful. There are lots of things that are actually destructive. So when we talk about boundaries and protection, you know, we're talking about avoiding things that are going to be destructive, that are actually going to take our freedom away. So first of all, we want to look at home. And what do we mean when we're talking about home? And the best quote I could find on this was from an esteemed philosopher. His name's Pumbaa, the warthog of the Lion King. And he said, home is where your rump rests. And home is where we live, you know. It's where our rump rests, you know. It's where we go to sleep, and it's where we like to sort of rest up and relax, right? It's that place that we feel like we can be ourselves the most, and it's a place of enjoyment, or it's a place where we want to be in that sort of place. So the question is, what should home look like? As Christians, what should home look like? And it's quite simple, really. I thought, you know, first of all, home should be a safe place, right? No one wants to, no kids want to come home from school where they've been bullied or picked on and or face that peer pressure to a place where they're facing the same thing at home, right? They want to come home to a safe environment. No husband wants to come home from work where he's been hammered by kind of workmates in the world and angry clients all day to a wife who's treating him exactly the same way, right? And no wife wants to come home to a husband who's treating her that way. So it should be a safe place. So it's a place where we nurture relationship. And this is really, really key, because, you know, as Christians, a big part of our walk with the Lord is relationship, right? Relationship first with the Lord and then relationship with other people. And I would argue that the very first person, if you're married, who after the Lord should be your spouse. That's the most important relationship in your life, and then your children. And if you're not married, you know, it might be maybe a flatmate, it might be extended family, but it's those, that home life that we're looking to nurture first. If you don't get that right, we're not going to be effective in the world, are we, to other people? So it should be a safe place. It should be secure. You know, we live in Rotorua. I guarantee not many of us leave our houses completely unlocked at night. You know, we want to make sure it's a secure place. And in the same sense, you know, so what we're doing there when we lock our doors, when we go out or whatever, is we're stopping unwanted people from entering in, or unwanted things. So in a spiritual sense, we want to make sure that we're guarding against spiritual things that we do not want in our houses. So to do that, we need a plan in place, right? We need to understand how we're going to do that. Next, it should be a place where we can be vulnerable, right? So, you know, most of us, we have our bedrooms in our houses, and that's where we get dressed and undressed. It's where we, you know, it's where we're vulnerable in a very physical or practical sense. And in a spiritual sense, we should be able to be vulnerable in our own homes as well. We shouldn't have to wait till we come to church on Sunday mornings. We should be able to be vulnerable, if not with other people in our house, at least with the Lord. You know, it's that place where we can pour out our heart with him and just work through those things with him. It should be a place where we can be refreshed. You know, it's where we rest, it's where we sleep. So spiritually, we should be able to be refreshed at home. The same thing, you know, same principle. We come to church sometimes thinking, oh, I can go to church and just be spiritually refreshed. That's great, but we need to figure out how to do that at home as well, because it should be a daily thing, not just a weekly thing. It should be a place where we can get clean, right? It's where we wash, it's where we shower, hopefully. Boys. And the same thing, you know, we're washed. The scriptures say we're washed by the water of the word, you know. So if we're soaking in the word, we should be getting washed. It should be a place where we can grow. You know, we sit down at the table and have a meal every night. We have breakfast in the morning. I don't have lunch at home, but the rest of the family does. It's where we take those nutrients in so that we can grow. So we should be growing from home. Like, we shouldn't be kind of shrinking spiritually every time we go home, and then to kind of get that little kind of shot of nutrients every time we come to church on Sunday morning. It's a place where we should be getting the vast majority of those, that kind of spiritual input, so we can grow. And lastly, it should be a place where we can practice love, right? So whether we share our home with others or with the Lord, you know, it's a place that we can practice that love in that intimate sort of environment. So now that we know what we're talking about with regards to home, we want to look at some boundaries. So the first question is, what are boundaries? I think boundaries are just lines that we draw as a reference point, you know, or something that we can see or go back to at a later date to help keep us from straying into areas which are not helpful, or to help things from straying, things that are not helpful from straying into our areas, right? So it's kind of, it's a way of keeping bad things out and good things in, if that makes sense. So notice, you know, we talked about that verse in Corinthians where he says not all things are helpful. So I'm not talking about keeping everything out as a rule. I'm saying, you know, looking at what's helpful, what builds up my spirit, what builds up my family's spirit. So how do we create those boundaries? First thing, I think boundaries should be made by revelation and not by guilt. We need boundaries in our lives, but we don't need boundaries that are there placed by, you know, a guilt trip. If someone else sort of says to you, hey, you know, you shouldn't be watching TV. Don't you know TVs are of the devil? And all of a sudden, you know, like nobody's got TVs, and then we have another sermon on liberty and Noel Leeming does really well again because everyone's got TVs again. So like, and that's kind of what those sort of boundaries become like, doesn't it? It varies from week to week. So we don't want to be doing that. We don't want to make this kind of a legalistic thing. Maybe the TV is a problem at your place and you do need to get rid of it. You know, at our place, I know it's not. So we're fine with that. But there are other boundaries that we need to put into place. So those things come by, you know, what Darren was saying, hearing from the Lord. If we're, you know, if we're going through it and doing that introspection and we're talking to the Lord, he's going to show us you need a boundary here. So boundaries which are there by revelation will block root causes, whereas boundaries that are there by guilt or by coercion are there to kind of hide symptoms. So we need to have boundaries that we know the Lord has spoken to us. Recognize that while not all free acts are helpful, you know, we're talking about what's helpful, neither are all boundaries helpful. So we can actually put boundaries in place in our lives which are really restrictive. I think a good example of this is years ago, you know, we were in a church environment where one of the boundaries was, hey, we don't dance. And we found out eventually that boundary was actually more than useless. It was actually destructive. It was not helpful at all. And so I'm really glad now that we're seeing the younger generation starting to dance and just, you know, be free before the Lord. So that's boundaries. Protection. So protection is a bit different to boundaries, where boundaries are kind of like a passive line in the sand. A protection is something that's proactive. It's something that requires a plan or thought beforehand. It's a measure to stop or minimize a potential threat. So what does that look like for us? Because I think, you know, having come from the military and understanding a little bit about what protection is and what defensive warfare is, protection is a combination of good armor and effective weapons, right? And I think we can apply that principle for us too. But of course, we're not talking about 50 caliber machine guns, as awesome as that would be. We're not actually talking about that. We're not talking about Kevlar, unless we're talking about it in a spiritual sense kind of thing. So, you know, Ephesians chapter 6 is a great place to go. We're looking at the armor of God, the whole armor of God. And Jaron has been through that with us, talking about how he would actually physically in the morning, he would actually dress himself in the armor. And we go through seasons where we need to do that, you know, especially when we're under that attack. So we need to be prepared. We need to be able to do that. But, you know, one of the most awesome weapons that we can have in our homes is worship. You know, when we put worship music on and we listen to it, it just changes the atmosphere in our house. I love it. My darling, my wife, every so often she'll put on Carrie Job, I think is her favorite. And she'll kind of just, when she thinks no one's watching, she'll kind of just dance around and stuff. And it's really beautiful. It just changes the whole atmosphere of the house, and it just kind of pushes that yucky stuff out. It's really, really awesome. So, you know, in doing that, like, there's lots of things that we can do in our houses that involve worship, but not all of those acts of worship are worshiping God, if that makes sense. So we have to be a little bit careful without being kind of over the top, ridiculously legalistic. But just ask that question, what am I worshiping here? Like, is this having a good impact or a good influence on my kids? The next one is prayer. If we're not praying, we're not calling in those resources of heaven. We're not actually enlisting the angelic hosts to protect ourselves. And what we're saying is, I really don't care about the spiritual realm, and I don't think there's any real threat there. So by not praying, we're actually showing that we're quite ignorant. So prayer is massive. We need to be in prayer. And we need to be in the Word. You know, we need to be washing ourselves in the Word, renewing our minds, and walking in the Word. Then there's communication. You know, it's all good and well to have a house full of people who are really spiritual, but if they don't talk to each other, like, you know, that's one of the keys to warfare in a very physical sense is communication. If you don't have good lines of communication, you have no defense whatsoever. So for protection, we need communication. We need to be talking to each other. If you feel like the Lord's revealing something to you, like, you know, a good example is Katrina might say, hey, the kids were watching this on TV and I just felt like the Lord was saying it's not good for them. And we have to talk about that and talk through that. And sometimes it may be not much of an issue. And other times it might be like, yeah, actually we need to proactively do something about that. But we can't do that without communication. Next, I think, is really important. We touched on this before in the home, is love on purpose. So, like, love shouldn't just be an accident at home. You know, like when the two-year-old comes up at you in the morning, he's all sleepy and kind of fluffy head and everything, and he's adorable and easy to love. But also, like, when the kids are screaming, when, you know, your husband comes in and he's just exhausted from the day and just can't be bothered helping with anything, you know, whatever it might be. That never happens at our house, but imagining that would happen at some other places. Actually, funny story, we've just been walking through some premarital stuff with Tim and Elka, which has been really cool. And it's funny because, like, these little stories come up that you don't know about, you know, when you're tag-teaming it. And so we were talking about this whole idea of loving on purpose. And Katrina's like, yeah, like, when I'm really mad at Jeremy, what I do is I go and I make him a cup of tea because I know if I'm going to do something loving, it's going to change my attitude. And I was like, so that's why I get so many cups of tea. I just thought I must be the best husband ever because she always wants to bring me cups of tea. The worst thing is she said, well, it's not always because I'm angry with you. And I was like, so now I don't know. So she brings me a cup of tea. I'm like, thank you. Have I been a good boy? But loving on purpose, you know, and I thought that was actually a great principle. You know, we don't always feel like loving. Obviously, Katrina doesn't always feel like loving me. But once we step out in those acts of kindness and acts of love, you know, it changes our heart, it changes our attitude, and that love on purpose kind of happens more naturally. So that's actually, I know we've kind of rushed through this, it's been pretty quick, but I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up real quick. And I think the last thing that we want to do is, we don't want to go away from here today sort of thinking, cool, that was a good message, or what did he say? I can't remember. We actually want to make this practical. Like, we actually want to make sure that we're putting this stuff in practice. And Ruth, you know, the Lord through Ruth was very specific about this. She said, this needs to be practical. In fact, it needs to be something that each and every one of us, we go home today and we implement in our homes. We start to look for things that need to change in our homes so that we're creating a good home environment. So we need to start today. And I think most of us, when we talk about this stuff, you know, even for me right now, a few things just come to mind and I'm like, I need to make a change there. It doesn't need to be like, well, here's my plan of 50 things I'm going to change at home today. It's one thing at a time. You know, we go there and we look. And as we're hearing from the Lord, as we're listening to the Lord, He's going to show us. He's going to show us the things that need to change. Be careful about not being legalistic about it, about sort of kind of making rules that are just there because we kind of feel coerced. The pastor coerced me into getting rid of my TV or whatever it might be. But, you know, go for that revelation. And as you hear the Lord, just step out on that. I think one of the really cool things that Darren had mentioned to me yesterday, I spoke to him on the phone about this, and he said, look, when he was going through this, when he and Lynette were going through this, they did this in an extremely practical way. And the Lord led them to a scripture in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 4, where he says, from him shall come the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler, all of them together. And in that context of the home, you know, from him the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, and from him every ruler. So it's that idea of stretching out your tent pegs, of marking your territory. And he said, we went to Bunnings and bought a bunch of timber pegs, and we wrote scriptures that the Lord had placed on our hearts on those tent pegs, or on those wooden pegs, and we nailed them in around the border of our home. And we established that this is our territory. We are taking this territory for the Lord, and we are not going to retreat beyond these borders. So I thought that was really awesome, and it was a really practical thing. And I said, look, some people here, they go home and their family is not in agreement with them, or the other people they're living with are not in agreement with them. I said, what do we do in that situation? He said, well, yeah, I understand that some people are going to go home and they're only going to be able to claim their bedroom or the closet or somewhere like that. But the point is, we need to establish those boundaries. And he suggested, you know, hey, put some scriptures up on the wall in your bedroom if that helps, if that helps mark out that territory. But what we're doing is we're saying, hey, I'm stepping out, I'm doing something practical here to show that this is the Lord's place. And I think finally, you know, if we just turn, if you have your Bibles, just turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and we're starting at verse 43. So Jesus is talking to a group of people, and they're made up of a mixture of different people. People who are very religious and people who are very worldly, and people who think they've got it all together and people who know that they don't. He's talking to scribes and Pharisees, and he's talking to the local people as well, and those people that have been following him around. But he's talking to people who were there with John the Baptist, and they heard the word. They heard him cry out for them to repent and to be washed and to be brought into the kingdom. And in some ways, that's the journey that we're going on, isn't it, this year, as we step into deeper freedom, as we, you know, as we seek to kind of cleanse ourselves, as we seek to cleanse the spirit, as we seek to walk forward and to step forward into new ground. And Jesus gave this warning to those people, and he says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none. Then it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. So it's a pretty hard-hitting verse. What he's saying is, if you clean the house, if you clean your temple, and that's all you do, that's as far as you take it, that evil will leave and it will come back and it will find the house swept and empty, and it will bring seven worse things with it. And that's a scary thought. And I guess what we're saying in establishing the home with boundaries and protections is we're saying, once we've done that, once we've cleansed the temple, once we've cleansed the internal house, we're going to go home and we're going to take the next step. And we're going to shut the door on the enemy. We're not going to allow him back in. So I hope you can kind of see how important this is. It's not just something that's kind of like, oh, that would be nice to do when I get round to it. If you're going to come here and get cleansed and get washed in the word and take those new steps, it needs to be practical and it needs to start at home. And I know that's maybe a little bit hard to hear, and I know, you know, as busy as we are and as hard as I know many of us work, and as tired as we are when we get home, sometimes all we want to do at home is just crash or just veg or whatever it is. But if we want to move forward, we're going to have to do this. We're going to have to be proactive. We're going to have to put some thought into this. We're going to have to seek the Lord over this. So I say that as an encouragement, and I think, you know, this is just hugely important. So we're just going to pray and we're just going to jump into some worship and just enjoy the time with the Lord. So Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are a good God. We thank you for liberty, Lord. We thank you for freedom, Lord. We thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that your Spirit is in each one of us, Father God. And we pray that your Spirit would be upon us, Father God, that you would wash over us and pour out through us, Lord God. And that as we go through this time, Lord, as we seek, Lord, to be more in you, as we seek, Lord, just to be covered in you, Lord, to be walking in your ways, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, just to draw near to you in our homes, Father God, just to change our homes and just to bring them more into alignment with your kingdom, Lord God, that our homes, Lord, would look like your throne room, Father God, that you would be there and that anyone who would step in, Father God, would just know your presence, Lord, would know that you were there and that would know that there's just a lightness in the atmosphere, Father. And so we ask, Lord, that you would speak to each one of our hearts, Lord God, that you would tell us exactly what we need to do. Lord, that you would whisper in our ears, Father God. Lord, and that we would step out in faith and not in fear, Lord God. That we would seek your face first, Lord, and draw near to you, Lord. We thank you for freedom, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So as we just come to a time of just sort of closing off in worship, I just really appreciate these words that Jeremy's brought. I want to make a point. I work with a trust in the community, and one of the things that we realize is we sort of reach out to vulnerable, a couple of us actually within the fellowship here work with this trust, just to make a difference with some of the most vulnerable in our community. One of the things we realize is that our heart within this group is to reach children specifically, but it is useless to take the kids out of a bad environment, sort of clean them up at a camp for a couple days or whatever, and then put them right back in to a bad home environment. Everything's gone. And there's a portion of that Jeremy's talking about here, is if we come in here and get sort of cleaned up, if you will, during the week, or come on a Wednesday night or spend time with our Christian friends and have a good time, and then go back into a bad environment. So here's the thing I want to say. I know a lot of people, few if any, do home better than Jeremy and Katrina. And they're young, the peak fauna. Their home is a place of love, of outreach. They invite people into their home that I can be honest, I don't know if I would. Okay, but it's a place of outreach, a place of love, and a place of rest. So I'm just going to say, if afterwards you have some questions about this, whatever, don't be afraid to talk to these guys, because they've got a massive amount of wisdom to share.